He took the glass and set it on the nightstand sitting beside me. We sat in silence, letting the last hours sink in. I shut my eyes tight when the memories of the terrified cries of those trapped in the basement filled my mind. I wasn't sure how long it would take me to forget, or if I ever would. Travis's warm hand on my knee pulled me from my conscious nightmare. A lot of people died tonight.
I know.
We won't find out until tomorrow just how many.
Trent and I passed a group of kids on the way out. I wonder if they made it. They looked so scared.
I felt the tears fill my eyes, but before they touched my cheeks, Travis's solid arms were surrounding me. Immediately I felt protected, flush against his skin. Feeling so at home in his arms had once terrified me, but in that moment, I was grateful that I could feel so safe after experiencing something so horrific. There was only one reason I could ever feel that way with anyone. I belonged to him. It was then that I knew, without a doubt in my mind, without worry of what others would think, and having no fear of mistakes or consequences, I smiled at the words I would say.
Travis, I said against his chest.
What, baby? He whispered into my hair. Our phones rang in unison, and I handed his to him as I answered mine.
Hello?
Abby! America shrieked.
I'm okay, Mayor. We're all okay.
We just heard! It's all over the news!
I could hear Travis explaining to Shepley next to me, and I tried my best to reassure America, fielding dozens of her questions, trying to keep my voice steady while recounting the scariest moments of my life. I relaxed the second Travis covered my hand with his. It seemed I was telling someone else's story, sitting in the comfort of Travis's apartment, a million miles away from the nightmare that could have killed us. America wept when I finished, realizing how close we came to losing our lives.
I'm going to start packing now. We'll be home first thing in the morning, America sniffed.
Mare, don't leave early. We're fine.
I have to see you. I have to hug you so I'll know you're all right, she cried.
We're fine. You can hug me on Friday.
She sniffed again.
I love you.
I love you too. Have a good time.
Travis looked at me and then pressed the phone tight against his ear.
Better hug your girl, Shep. She sounds upset.
I know, man. Me too. See you soon.
I hung up seconds before Travis did, and we sat in silence for a moment, still processing what had happened. After several moments, Travis leaned back against his pillow and then pulled me against his chest.
America all right? He asked, staring up at the ceiling.
She's upset. She'll be okay.
I'm glad they weren't there.
I clenched my teeth. I hadn't even thought about what might have happened had they not stayed with Shepley's parents. My mind flashed to the terrified expressions of the girls in the basement, fighting against the men to escape. America's frightened eyes replaced the nameless girls in that room. I felt nauseous thinking about her beautiful blonde hair soiled and singed, along with the rest of the bodies laid out on the lawn.
Me too, I said with a shiver. I'm sorry. You've been through a lot tonight. I don't need to add anything else to your plate.
You were there too, Trav. He was quiet for several moments, and just when I opened my mouth to speak again, he took a deep breath.
I don't get scared very often, he said finally. I was scared the first morning I woke up and you weren't here. I was scared when you left me after Vegas. I was scared when I thought I was going to have to tell my dad that Trent had died in that building. But when I saw you across the flames in that basement, I was terrified. I made it to the door, was a few feet from the exit, and I couldn't leave.
What do you mean? Are you crazy? I said, my head jerking up to look into his eyes.
I've never been so clear about anything in my life. I turned around, made my way to that room you were in, and there you were. Nothing else mattered. I didn't even know if we would make it out or not. I just wanted to be where you were, whatever that meant. The only thing I'm afraid of is a life without you, Pigeon.
I leaned up, kissing his lips tenderly. When our mouths parted, I smiled. Then you have nothing to be afraid of. We're forever.
He sighed. I'd do it all over again, you know. I wouldn't trade one second if it meant we were right here, in this moment.
My eyes felt heavy, and I took in a deep breath. My lungs protested, still burning from the smoke. I coughed a bit, and then relaxed, feeling Travis's warm lips against my forehead. His hand glided over my damp hair, and I could hear his heart beating steady in his chest.
"This is it," he said with a sigh.
"What?"
"The moment. When I watch you sleeping. That peace on your face. This is it. I haven't had it since before my mom died, but I can feel it again."
He took another deep breath and pulled me closer.
"I knew the second I met you that there was something about you I needed.
Turns out it wasn't something about you at all. It was just you." The corner of my mouth turned up as I buried my face into his chest.
"It's us, Trav. Nothing makes sense unless we're together. Have you noticed that?"
"Noticed? I've been telling you that all year," he teased. "It's official. Bimbos, fights, leaving, Parker, Vegas, even fires. Our relationship can withstand anything."
I lifted my head up once more, noticing the contentment in his eyes as he looked at me. It was similar to the peace I had seen on his face after I lost the bet to stay with him in the apartment, after I told him I loved him for the first time, and the morning after the Valentine's dance. It was similar, but different. This was absolute, permanent. The cautious hope had vanished from his eyes, unqualified trust taking its place. I recognized it only because his eyes mirrored what I was feeling.
"Vegas?" I asked.
His brow furrowed, unsure of where I was headed.
"Yeah?
Have you thought about going back?" His eyebrows shot up.
"I don't think that's a good idea for me."
"What if we just went for a night?"
He looked around the dark room, confused. "A night?"
"Marry me," I said without hesitation. I was surprised at how quickly and easily the words came. His mouth spread into a broad smile.
"When?"
I shrugged. "We can book a flight tomorrow. It's spring break. I don't have anything going on tomorrow. Do you?"
"I'm calling your bluff," he said, reaching for his phone. "American Airlines," he said, watching my reaction closely as he was connected. "I need 2 tickets to Vegas, please. Tomorrow."
He looked at me, waiting for me to change my mind.
2 days. Round trip.
Whatever you have. I rested my chin on his chest, waiting for him to book the tickets. The longer I let him stay on the phone, the wider his smile became.
"Yeah. Hold on a minute," he said, pointing to his wallet.
"Grab my card, would you, Pidge?" He waited again for my reaction. I happily leaned over, pulled his credit card from his wallet, and handed it to him. Travis called out the numbers to the agent, glancing up at me after each set. When he gave the expiration date and saw my lack of protesting, he pressed his lips together.
Yes, ma'am. We'll just pick them up at the desk. Thank you."
He handed me his phone, and I sat it on the night table, waiting for him to speak.
"You just asked me to marry you," he said, still waiting for me to admit some kind of trickery.
"I know.
That was the real deal, you know. I just booked 2 tickets to Vegas for noon tomorrow, so that means we're getting married tomorrow night."
"Thank you." His eyes narrowed. "You're going to be Mrs. Maddox when you start classes on Monday."
"Oh," I said, looking around.
Travis raised an eyebrow.
"Second thoughts?"
"I'm going to have some serious paperwork to change next week." He nodded slowly, cautiously hopeful.
"You're going to marry me tomorrow?"
I smiled.
"Uh-huh." "You're serious?"
"Yep."
"I fucking love you!"
He grabbed each side of my face, slamming his lips against mine.
"I love you so much, Pigeon," he said, kissing me over and over.
"Just remember that in 50 years when I'm still kicking your ass in poker," I giggled. He smiled triumphant.
"If it means 60 or 70 years with you, baby, you have my full permission to do your worst."
I raised one eyebrow.
"You're gonna regret that."
"I bet I won't." I smiled with as much deviance as I could muster.
"Are you confident enough to bet that shiny bike outside?"
He shook his head, a serious expression replacing the teasing smile he had just seconds before.
"I'll put in everything I have. I don't regret a single second with you, Pidge, and I never will."
I held out my hand and he took it without hesitation, shaking it once and then bringing it to his mouth, pressing his lips tenderly against my knuckles. The room was quiet,
his lips leaving my skin and the air escaping his lungs the only sound.
"Abby Maddox," he said, his smile beaming in the moonlight.
I pressed my cheek against his bare chest.
"Travis and Abby Maddox has a nice ring to it."
"Ring?" he said, frowning. "We'll worry about rings later. I sort of sprung this on you." He trailed off, watching me for the reaction he expected.
"What?"
I asked, feeling myself tense.
"Don't freak out," he said as he shifted nervously.
His grip around me tightened.
"I kind of already took care of that part."
"What part?" I said, my head craning to see his face. He stared up at the ceiling and sighed.
"You're going to freak out."
"Travis." I frowned as he pulled one arm away from me, reaching for the drawer of his nightstand. He felt around for a moment. I blew my damp bangs from my eyes.
"What, you bought condoms?"
He laughed once.
"No, Pidge."
His eyebrows pulled together as he made more of an effort, reaching farther into the drawer. Once he found what he was looking for, his focus changed, and he watched me as he pulled a small box from its hiding place. I looked down as he placed the small velvet square on his chest, reaching behind him to rest his head on his arm.
"What's that?"
I asked.
"What does it look like?"
"Okay, let me rephrase the question. When did you get that?"
Travis inhaled, and as he did, the box rose with his chest and fell when he pushed the air from his lungs. "A while ago."
"Trav."
"I just happened to see it one day, and I knew there was only one place it could belong.
On your perfect little finger."
"One day when?"
"Does it matter?" he rebutted. He squirmed a bit, and I couldn't help but laugh.
"Can I see it?"
I smiled, suddenly feeling a bit giddy. His smile matched mine, and he looked to the box.
"Open it."
I touched it with one finger, feeling the lush velvet under my fingertip. I grasped the golden seal with both hands, slowly pulling the lid open. A glimmer caught my eye, and I slammed the lid shut.
"Travis!"
I wailed.
"I knew you'd freak out," he said, sitting up and cupping his hands over mine.
I could feel the box pressing against both of my palms, feeling like a prickly grenade that could detonate at any moment. I closed my eyes and shook my head.
"Are you insane?"
I know what you're thinking, but I had to. It was the one, and I was right. I haven't seen one since that was as perfect as this one.
My eyes popped open, and instead of the anxious pair of brown eyes I expected, he was beaming with pride. He gently peeled my hands from the case and pulled the lid open, pulling the ring from the tiny slit that held it in place. The large, round diamond glittered even in the dim light, catching the moonlight in every facet.
My God, it's amazing," I whispered as he took my left hand in his.
"Can I put it on your finger?" he asked, peering up at me.
When I nodded, he pressed his lips together, sliding the silver band over my knuckle, holding it in place for a moment before letting go.
"Now it's amazing."
We both stared at my hand for a moment, equally shocked at the contrast of the large diamond sitting atop my small, slender finger. The band spanned the bottom of my finger, splitting in two on each side as it reached the solitaire, smaller diamonds lining each sliver of white gold.
"You could have put a down payment on a car for this," I said under my breath, unable to put any strength behind my voice.
My eyes followed my hand as Travis brought it up to his lips.
"I've imagined what this would look like on your hand a million times. Now that it's there..."
"What?" I smiled, watching him stare at my hand with an emotional grin. He looked up at me.
"I thought I was going to have to sweat 5 years before I'd feel like this."
"I wanted it as much as you did. I've just got a hell of a poker face," I said, pressing my lips against his.
Epilogue. Travis squeezed my hand as I held my breath. I tried to keep my face smooth, but when I cringed, his grip became tighter. The white ceiling was tarnished in some places by leak stains. Other than that, the room was immaculate. No clutter, no utensils strewn about. Everything had its place, which made me feel moderately at ease about the situation. I had made the decision. I would go through with it.
Baby, Travis said, frowning.
I can do this, I said, staring at spots in the ceiling. I jumped when fingertips touched my skin, but I tried not to tense. I could see the worry in Travis's eyes when the buzzing began.
Pigeon, Travis began again, but I shook my head dismissively.
All right, I'm ready. I held the phone away from my ear, wincing from both the pain and the inevitable lecture.
I'm going to kill you, Abby Abernathy, America cried. Kill you!
Technically, it's Abby Maddox now, I said, smiling at my new husband.
It's not fair,
she whined, the anger subsiding from her tone.
I was supposed to be your maid of honor. I was supposed to go dress shopping with you and throw a bachelorette party and hold your bouquet.
I know, I said, watching Travis's smile fade as I winced again.
You don't have to do this, you know, he said, his eyebrows pulling together.
I squeezed his fingers together with my free hand. I know.
You said that already, America snapped.
I wasn't talking to you.
Oh, you're talking to me, she fumed. You are so talking to me. You are never going to hear the end of this, do you hear me? I will never, ever forgive you.
Yes, you will.
You! You're just plain mean, Abby. You're a horrible best friend.
I laughed, causing the man seated beside me to jerk.
Hold still, Mrs. Maddox.
I'm sorry, I said.
Who was that? America snapped.
That was Griffin.
Who the hell is Griffin? Let me guess, you invited a total stranger to your wedding and not your best friend?
Her voice became shriller with each question.
No, he didn't go to the wedding, I said, sucking in a breath of air.
Travis sighed and shifted nervously in his chair, squeezing my hand.
I'm supposed to do that to you, remember?
I said, smiling up at him through the pain.
Sorry, I don't think I can take this, he said, his voice thick with distress.
He relaxed his hand, looking to Griffin.
Hurry up, would ya?
Griffin shook his head. Covered in tats and can't take your girlfriend getting a simple script. I'll be finished in a minute, mate. Travis's frown deepened.
Wife. She's my wife.
America gasped, once the conversation processed in her mind.
You're getting a tattoo? What is going on with you, Abby? Did you breathe toxic fumes in that fire?
I looked down at my stomach, to the smeared black mess just to the inside of my hip bone, and smiled. Travis, my name on his wrist. I sucked in another breath when the buzzing continued. Griffin wiped ink from my skin and began again. I spoke through my teeth.
We're married? I wanted something too.
Travis shook his head.
You didn't have to.
I narrowed my eyes.
Don't start with me. We discussed this.
America laughed once.
You've gone crazy. I'm admitting you to the asylum when you get home.
Her voice was still piercing and exasperated.
It's not that crazy. We love each other. We've been practically living together on and off all year. Why not?
Because you're 19, you idiot. Because you ran off and didn't tell anyone. And because I'm not there, she cried.
I'm sorry, Mayor. I have to go. I'll see you tomorrow, okay?
I don't know if I want to see you tomorrow. I don't think I want to see Travis ever again, she sneered.
I'll see you tomorrow, Mayor. You know you want to see my ring.
And your tat, she said, a smile in her voice.
I clicked the phone shut, handing it to Travis. The buzzing resumed again, and my attention focused on the burning sensation, followed by the sweet second of relief as he wiped the excess ink away. Travis shoved my phone in his pocket, gripping my hand with both of his, leaning down to touch his forehead to mine.
Did you freak out this much when you got your tattoos? I asked him, smiling at the apprehensive expression on his face.
He shifted, seeming to feel my pain 1,000 times more than I.
No. This is different. This is much, much worse.
Done, Griffin said, with as much relief in his voice as was on Travis's face. I let my head fall back against the chair.
Thank God!
Thank God, Travis sighed, patting my hand.
I looked down at the beautiful black lines on my red and angry skin. Mrs. Maddox.
Wow,
I said, rising up on my elbows to get a better look. Travis's frown instantly turned into a triumphant smile.
It's beautiful.
Griffin shook his head. If I had a dollar for every inked-up new husband that brought his wife in here and took it worse than she did, well, I wouldn't have to tat anyone ever again. Just tell me how much I owe, smartass, Travis mumbled.
I'll have your bill at the counter, Griffin said, amused with Travis's retort. I looked around the room at the shiny chrome and posters of sample tattoos on the wall, and then back down to my stomach. My new last name shined in thick, elegant black letters. Travis watched me with pride, and then peered down at his titanium wedding band.
We did it, baby, he said in a hushed voice. I still can't believe you're my wife.
Believe it, I said, smiling. He helped me from the chair, and I favored my right side, conscious of every movement I made that caused my jeans to rub against my raw skin. Travis pulled out his wallet, signing the receipt quickly before leading me by the hand to the cab waiting outside. My cell phone rang again, and when I saw that it was America, I let it ring.
She's going to lay the guilt trip on thick, isn't she? Travis said with a frown.
She'll pout for 24 hours after she sees the pictures, then she'll get over it. Travis shot me a mischievous grin.
Are you sure about that, Mrs. Maddox?
Are you ever going to stop calling me that? You've said it 100 times since we left the chapel. He shook his head as he held the cab door open for me.
I'll quit calling you that when it sinks in that this is real.
Oh, it's real all right, I said, sliding to the middle of the seat to make room. I have wedding night memories to prove it. He leaned against me, running his nose up the sensitive skin of my neck until he reached my ear.
We sure do.
Ow, I said when he pressed against my bandage. Oh, damn it. I'm sorry, Pidge.
You're forgiven, I said with a smile.
We rode to the airport hand in hand, and I giggled as I watched Travis stare at his wedding band without apology. His eyes held the peaceful expression I was becoming accustomed to.
When we get back to the apartment, I think it will finally hit me, and I'll quit acting like such a jackass.
Promise? I smiled. He kissed my hand and then cradled it in his lap between his palms.
No.
I laughed, resting my head on his shoulder, until the cab slowed to a stop in front of the airport. My cell phone rang again, displaying America's name once again.
She's relentless. Let me talk to her, Travis said, reaching for my phone.
Hello? He said, waiting out the shrill scream on the other end of the line. He smiled.
Because I'm her husband. I can answer her phone now.
He glanced at me and then shoved open the cab door, offering his hand.
We're at the airport, America. Why don't you and Shep pick us up and you can yell at us both on the way home?
Yes, the whole way home.
We should arrive around 3.
All right, Mayor. See you then. He winced with her sharp words and then handed me the phone.
You weren't kidding. She's pissed.
He tipped the cabbie and then threw his bag over his shoulder, pulling up the handle to my rolling luggage. His tattooed arms tensed as he pulled my bag, his free hand reaching out to take mine.
I can't believe you gave her the green light to let us have it for an entire hour, I said, following him through the revolving door.
You don't really think I'm going to let her yell at my wife, do you?
You're getting pretty comfortable with that term.
I guess it's time to admit it. I knew you were going to be my wife pretty much from the second I met you. I'm not going to lie and say I haven't been waiting for the day I could say it, so I'm going to abuse the title.
You should get used to it now.
He said this all matter-of-factly, as if he were giving a practice speech. I laughed, squeezing his hand.
I don't mind.
He peered at me from the corner of his eye.
You don't?
I shook my head, and he pulled me to his side, kissing my cheek.
Good. You're going to get sick of it over the next few months. But just cut me some slack, okay?
I followed him through the hallways, up escalators and lines of security. When Travis walked through the metal detector, a loud buzzer went off. When the airport guard asked Travis to remove his ring, his face turned severe.
I'll hold on to it, sir, the officer said. It will only be for a moment.
I promised her I'd never take it off, Travis said through his teeth. The officer held out his palm. Patience and amused understanding wrinkled the thin skin around his eyes. Travis begrudgingly removed his ring, slammed it into the guard's hand, and then sighed when he walked through the doorway. He didn't set off the alarm, but he was still annoyed. I walked through without event, handing over my ring as well.
Travis's expression was still tense, but when we were allowed to pass, his shoulders relaxed. "It's okay, baby. It's back on your finger," I said, giggling at his overreaction. He kissed my forehead, pulling me to his side as we made our way to the terminal. When I caught the eyes of those we passed, I wondered if it was obvious that we were newlyweds, or if they simply noticed the ridiculous grin on Travis's face, a stark contrast from his shaved head, inked arms, and bulging muscles. The airport was abuzz with excited tourists, the beeping and ringing of slot machines, and people meandering in every direction. I smiled at a young couple holding hands, looking as excited and nervous as Travis and I did when we arrived. I didn't doubt that they would leave feeling the same mixture of relief and bewilderment that we felt. In the terminal, I thumbed through a magazine and gently touched Travis's wildly bouncing knee. His leg froze and I smiled, keeping my eyes on the pictures of celebrities. He was nervous about something, but I waited for him to tell me, knowing he was working it out internally. After a few minutes, his knee bobbed again, but this time he stopped it on his own, and then slowly slumped down into his chair. "Pigeon?" "Yeah?" A few moments passed, and then he sighed. "Nothing." The time passed too quickly, and it seemed we had just sat down when our flight number was called to board. A line quickly formed, and we stood up, waiting our turn to show our tickets and walk down the long hall to the airplane that would take us home. Travis hesitated. "I can't shake this feeling," he said under his breath. "What do you mean? Like a bad feeling?" I said, suddenly nervous. He turned to me with concern in his eyes. "I have this crazy feeling that once we get home, I'm going to wake up, like none of this was real." I slid my arms around his waist, running my hands up the lean muscles of his back. "Is that what you're worried about?" He looked down to his wrist, and then glanced to the thick silver band on his left finger. "I just can't shake the feeling that the bubble's going to burst, and I'm going to be lying in my bed alone, wishing you were there with me." "I don't know what I'm going to do with you, Trav. I've dumped someone for you, twice. I've picked up and went to Vegas with you, twice. I've literally gone through hell and back, married you, and branded myself with your name. I'm running out of ideas to prove to you that I'm yours." A small smile graced his lips. "I love it when you say that." "That I'm yours?" I asked. I leaned up on the balls of my feet, pressing my lips against his. "I am yours, Mrs. Travis Maddox, forever and always." His small smile faded as he looked at the boarding gate and then down to me. "I'm gonna fuck it up, Pigeon. You're gonna get sick of my shit." I laughed. "I'm sick of your shit now. I still married you." "I thought once we got married, that I'd feel a little more reassured about losing you. But I feel like if I get on that plane..." "Travis, I love you. Let's go home." His eyebrows pulled in. "You won't leave me, right? Even when I'm a pain in the ass?" "I vowed in front of God, and Elvis, that I wouldn't. Didn't I?" His frown lightened a bit. "This is forever, right?" One corner of my mouth turned up. "Would it make you feel better if we made a wager?" Other passengers began to walk around us, however slowly, watching and listening to our ridiculous conversation. Like before, I was glaringly aware of prying eyes, but this time was different. The only thing I could think about was the peace returning to Travis's eyes. What kind of husband would I be if I bet against my own marriage? I smiled. "The stupid kind? Didn't you listen to your dad when he told you not to bet against me?" He raised an eyebrow. "So you're that sure, huh? You'd bet on it?" I wrapped my arms around his neck and smiled against his lips. "I'd bet my firstborn. That's how sure I am." And then the peace returned. "You can't be that sure," he said, the anxiousness absent from his voice. I raised an eyebrow, my mouth pulling up on the same side. "Wanna bet?"
Beautiful Disaster was written by Jamie McGuire and read by Emma Galvin. Recording and post-production by Kessler Media Productions. The associate producer was Madeline Mabee. Beautiful Disaster was produced and directed by Robert Kessler. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. Beautiful Disaster is available in paperback from Atria.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.